They moved in unison like dancers in a ballet. The Spider, 20 inches from my rifle. The Viet Cong, 20 feet farther out, in line, each slowly sliding a leg forward. I let the man take one more step so as not to kill the bug.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Wednesday, July 6, 2005. And that's right, we're back again, and it would be hump day on Newsreel. Your daily report is the wall counterculture smacks, beats down, pins to the floor, and beats the evil core political tyranny's head off the linoleum floor until it makes a wet spuck sound. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. As a matter of fact, we're taking a very tactical stand against free speech today. And just by listening, you are in fact a terrorist. You're one of the super predators of which the American Homeland Security Federation is so incredibly afraid of. Yes, you never know when the Department of Ministry could be kicking in your door just because we happen to be listening to a crazy Canadian up here in the Great White North. Coo-loo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to that same live journal I just mentioned by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be one times free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rand Radio, Wild Brunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa. And you are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit, which means that you can hand it out to people you don't know, even though you may get charged with distributing harmful matter. You never know what kind of charges you could be landed when you start circulating the Newsreel show. But that is one of the greatest things you can do. If you can't send money, which is always helpful, make sure you distribute the show, because that way we're reaching more people, which, after all, is that not the goal? Let's get straight into some feedback. I'm going to have a bit of a problem getting through this letter here. I'll see if I can translate it a little bit. We got some ringrish a little bit on the go here, so I'll see what I can do. What I was really worried about, Sean, were all the impressionable people. Lots of people within the masses are extremely impressionable. If you show them a movie, now this is in reference to a movie that What the Bleep Do We Know, and it fucks with their head, knocks them off their pedestal beliefs, and makes them have a nervous breakdown. It's just that, Sean, a lot of people aren't ready to wake up. Waking up is a fucking messy thing. You yourself know that very well. Yes, a lot of people want to sleep soundly within their mind, seeing what they want, ignoring what they wish. A lot of people are raised to think that way, raised to think, I can do anything about shit all, and so I will ignore anything bad and upsetting. I want all of these people to wake the fuck up too, but they would go around with Matrix Syndrome, where of course he would always say that, you know, you never release an older mind, you always released a younger mind, interesting part of the film. They would be truly at fucking shocked at reality. Yes, I do believe that psychics and out-of-body experiences are magic even exists. I haven't said I was religious, I only believe mass religion is potential to be dangerous and has proven time and time again. But as they say, I suppose that what gets you by, right? I'm a Wiccan, if you're curious, and the things that draws me to that is it isn't laid out before me. I have to forge my own patch with little guidance, and I have to obtain inner wisdom and inner peace. I apologize for being so aggressive with my rant against the movie. It's just, as you know very well, I was a bit shook up, and now that I contemplate back onto that movie, it makes me think there's a lot of truth in there. Some bullshit, but a lot of truth. And this was all in reference to that film, What the Bleep Do We Know? It's okay! It's okay to have films that you watch and you don't agree with. I mean, I watch at least 5 or 10 films a day that I don't agree with. Don't you even worry about it. Well, maybe not 5 or 10 films a day, but I'm exaggerating to make a point. There's a lot of people, you know, they send me an email, and then I read the email out on the air, and I retort to the email, and then they send me an apology for their opinion. Don't do that! Don't do that! I am not the be-all, end-all, dude, I'm wrong early, I am wrong often. And you know what? There was a lot of stuff in that What the Bleep Do We Know movie. Incidentally, if you haven't had a chance to see it, What the Bleep Do We Know is this kind of fluffy movie about, you know, making your own reality. A lot of new agey kind of stuff in there. Very, very positive. Some good stuff. Maybe some stuff that's a little questionable. But it was a very positive film. And if it wasn't for the fact that Yosh sent in that letter about the movie, we wouldn't be able to talk about it now. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's all about communication. Moving right along. Dear Sean, I'm not much of a fiction writer, so here's an idea you could use for one of your stories if you want. I was thinking about why the corporations are putting so many resources into wet-wiring humans, and then it struck me. Humans, servers, slaves. Think about it. What would happen if the world started to run out of silicon for components to make electronics? Would they look for an alternative source for processors? Organic components? A human server slave would be portable, low-maintenance information depository capable of processing information much faster than any non-organic computer. And it would be able to store hundreds of terabytes of data. It's a twisted fate. Whoever would be subjected to the mental process of controlling programs, maybe if your debt load got too high, you'd trade in your body for 10 years of server usage. I can picture this pale, blind dude with a scuzzy interface in his head hooked up to his optical nerds where his eyes used to be. Because of your optical nerds can carry so much bandwidth. I'm sure your warped mind can do the rest of the twisting. I would just wonder what would happen if the server slaves ever gained control of its interfacing. Just have fun with this burger, no fries. Well, you know, I love the fact that my fans think I'm so incredibly fucking twisted. But then again, after you have a book out there like, The Scadwings of Abaddon, can you really be surprised? You know, Roman Catholic rape packs, you know, Sean? Come on, what are you thinking, man? What are you thinking? Dear Sean, I'm a little behind in listening to the archives. Yes, go punish yourself. But I wanted to chip this in. Getting computers chips. On the June 20th show, you were responding to someone about Ann Coulter. Clutch. The Ann bitch. The really right-wing psycho bitch down in the States there. I was unlucky enough to meet her once. Oh, goody, we have someone who actually met her. And I can firmly say that she is not a conservative. Really, she is insane. Not only does she say ridiculous things like Canada should be invaded, but she really believes them. She is probably most well known for her post-9/11 quote, "We should invade their countries, kill their leaders, and convert them all to Christianity." Yikes. And that's from Orange Peril. Yes. Yes, it's funny that there's this big divide. You know, there's the divide between the left and the right. And I don't really think that divide between the left and the right's even there anymore. It seems like there's sort of this quasi-consciousness. There's the right-wing warhawk psycho bunny. You know, the Ann Cluche type. It's like, fuck them, we're here about the money, and we're going to make money and make money and make money. And fuck everybody else and make money. There's that crowd. And then there's everyone else but them, who slowly come to the conclusion like, hey, you know, the planet's dying. Maybe we shouldn't be mutilating animals just for shits and giggles. Maybe compassion might go somewhere. Maybe there's more to life than just money. You know, this is the other camp. So it seems that it's really kind of turning into an us and them sort of world. That's a very dangerous thing to say. I know, it's very dangerous to say it's us and them. Sean, what are you trying to promote here? Are you trying to promote unity or what? Well, I would like to have unity. But the thing is, it's like, okay, I'm not a vegetarian yet. You know, I'd like to do the vegetarian thing. I'm having a hard time with the vegetarian thing. I got given some organic moose meat the other day, as opposed to the inorganic moose meat from the concrete mooses that you'd cut up down at the mini golf course. No, but seriously, I mean, some buddy of mine shot a moose up north there, you know, it was in his garden or whatever. He dusted this moose back, and that was it, you know, and I got some moose steaks and ground beef in my fridge now and stuff like that. Totally organic. You know, nor hormones. I have no problem with that. I mean, why not? If you want to eat what you want to eat, that's fair ball. You know what I mean? But, you know, when you start looking into some of the more crazy spiritual teachings and stuff like that, it gets very, very fluffy and nobody wants to hurt anybody. But where's the teeth in that? Buddhists aren't really good in the army. You know, you need to be a little bit more aggressive. So how do you find balance? How do you get the balance situation going on? This is why I honestly believe we are going to eventually evolve into a caste system where you have the military caste and you have the rest of society, which I think, you know, what are we talking about here? Maybe something close to the Mimbari from Babylon 5? I don't know. Maybe just a personal guideline. You tell me what you think. Dear Sean, just FYI, the Jolly Roger. Now, this was that flag I was going to use as the WOG flag. Now, this is interesting because I didn't actually know the origins of the Jolly Roger. The Jolly Roger slash pirate flag, the pirate fag, the Jolly Roger, which actually, come to think of it, the pirate fag name, the Jolly Roger, is actually a really good name because, you know, he'd be looking super with his boots. Anyway, the Jolly Roger pirate flag was originally the flag of the Knights of Templar fleet in the day in days old. Now, I did not know that. Knights Templar were these dudes who were like the original Catholic crunkers. These guys used to go out and just like kick ass and take names. And that was until the Vatican went, whoa, SEAL Team 6 over here is getting a little uppity. And then decided they were going to disband the Knights Templar. And the Knights Templar were like, hey, why don't you suck it? And they grabbed all their gold and loot and took off with a bunch of ships, and no one ever saw them again. Right around that same time, the Masons got a real big cash inflow. And for some reason, they have a high rank in the Masons called Knights Templar, which I don't really understand how that works. But, well, I have no evidence, but I mean, everything points to the fact that the Knights of Templar hooked up with the Masons, and, well, we all know where that led to. But anyway, apparently, the pirate flag was originally a Knights of Templar flag. The pirates used it to seize ships because people would just think they are Knights Templar. Ah, I didn't know that. Again, just FYI, Jedi Master Leyborn. Thank you, Jedi Master. That is so very, very cool. And I gotta say, of all the religions out there floating around, the Jedis are looking pretty goddamn slick. You know, if I was going to have somebody kicking around the Jedi, you know, think about it. Could you have Jedi religious law? I mean, think about it. You know, kind of following the Tao of the universe, keeping peace and tranquility and all that good shit. There must be a Jedi website. I haven't looked for it. It must be like the official Jedi religions website, because that would be pretty cool to have. Mind you, they still haven't got the lightsabers. Let me tell you, when you guys develop lightsabers, are you ever going to see a massive influx into the Jedi faith? Let me tell you. Now, let's get into the Sort Yourself Out section of the show. Dear Sean, actually, no, wrong. Let's get into the opinion section of the show. Dear Sean, couple of things. Do you think the new Pope is some whacked out druggie who would bless his own penis if he thought he could get some more with it? Well, the new Pope. Well, Pope Benny there, the 16th, I guess, or whatever the hell he is. I mean, he's the new guy in charge of the show down there with the Roman Catholic Church. Now, we got to bear in mind, the Roman Catholic Church has been around longer than most countries. It's definitely been around longer than America. It's been around longer than Canada. It's been around longer than North America. Well, North America's been here longer, but you know what I mean. Now, the Vatican is one of the most evil organizations the world has ever seen. Okay, why? Well, think about how much damage the Vatican has done over time. And the thing that really kind of disturbs me about them is nobody's heard from the Vatican in a very long time. No one's, you know, they haven't really gotten uppity. They haven't really said anything. But you know, they've got all sorts of Jesuit orders and everything else running around behind the scenes trying to influence things. So, yes, the new Pope, I'm a little bit freaked out about the fact that he was like the minister of dogma and was the head of the Inquisition for a while there. You know, that kind of trips me out a little bit. So, yeah. I'm a little dodgy with the new Pope, to be sure. Second part is, if you could keep your brain, put it in a supermodel's body, would you still love women or go for men? Now, this is one of those questions that, you know, you could say right off the top, well, yeah, I'd be into chicks, right? But then you got to think, well, how much of your sexual preference is actually based upon the body you're in, meaning hormones and all that good stuff? I'm going to go out on a limb here. And I'm going to say that it doesn't matter whose body you put me in, I'd still be into women. You know, if you even put me in, I don't know, like Halle Berry's body or something like that, I'd still be into chicks. You know, it's just me. Like chicks. Women are gorgeous. I dig women. You know, it's not anything bad. I'm a heterosexual man over here. Not much I can really do about that. I have no problem with gay people. I think that anyone should sleep with whoever the hell they want. I also have come to the conclusion that marriage is not for everybody. You know, it seems to work out for me, but for some people it doesn't. And that's okay, too. But in answer to your question, if I could put my brain in a supermodel's body, would you still love women or go for men? I still think I would go for women. Now, what body would I put it in? You know, if I was going to have somebody's body, you know, if I could pick somebody in Hollywood and, like, clone them and get their body. Well, if they're living or dead, and I could choose anybody living or dead whose body I'd jump into, I got to tell you, I'd have to go with Bruce Lee. I'm sorry. I know that seems kind of rough, you know, a little bit stereotypical, but I got to go with Bruce Lee. The fact he's Chinese, well, that doesn't bother me at all. Now, if you were to ask me another question, if you were to say, Sean, if you could be born any nationality in the world, would you still be born white? Now, there's a better question, a little bit more closer to home, you know. I don't know if I would. I'd like to be born in Japan, actually. I think being Japanese would be kind of cool. You know, a lot of culture there, a lot of honorable culture, a lot of different genetic traits the Japanese seem to have that are pretty cool. I think that generally being born white is kind of a bummer on the whole genetic scale. You know, it seems like when you look around at all the sports athletes and all the people who are doing stuff in the world, there's not a lot of white people doing a lot of really cool junk. All the good robotic stuff is being done by Japanese folks. And, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but is not the entire black population taking over every major sport? I mean, if there was ever if you were going to get racist, quote unquote racist, I would say that black people are probably the most physically superior race in the world. My evidence to this would be the fact that they're taking over all major sports. Am I concerned about this? No, I think it's fucking great. I think it's awesome. Why not? What the hell? If you happen to be genetically gifted, well, don't ignore it. You know, admit that fight. Maybe there's a way we can find out what it is that is inside some black athletes and stuff like that that makes them such amazing athletes. And we can genetically modify everyone. People talk about that. They say that now there's a browning of America, which I think is a weird fucking thing to say. They say, you know, like, well, there's race mixing and la, 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 la. Well, understand that the race means as little to me as eye color. I look at physical capabilities. What does it do? How well does it do it? That is it. That is all. So, you know, if it seems that there's a massive percentage chance for people who are of a different ethnic background to have sort of a genetic edge over people with another genetic ethnic background, then why not utilize that? Why not? Let's see what we can find out with our DNA. Maybe we can correct ourselves somehow, get everyone operating on a pretty good level. Let's use each other's differences to enhance each other. Of course, you know, you start talking like that, people start getting crazy, calling you a racist and stuff like that, which, you know, quite honestly, I think women are hot from every culture around the world, personally. But, you know, hey, whatever. You know, you can paint me with any brush you want. In the Fight for Children news, this one was sent to me by Red Machine. In the 2005-2006 school year, you ready for this one? All parents will receive written notice of new policies for your children's schools. Many schools will ask you to sign permission slips, allowing school counselors or advocates to have conversations with your children. You will be told how your local schools are now being involved with vision and dental screenings. Okay, so your school is now checking out your vision, your kids' eyes and teeth, learning disabilities, and speech impediment screenings. Now, I like how they put learning disability and speech impediment in the same sort of venue. Learning disability is a pretty big field. Other acts of kindness. But watch for the small print and the extra little blurb which states that your children will also be evaluated for emotional wellness. Watch for wording like happiness indicators or family participation. These are the ways that they're going to start taking your children away from you. The fact is that our president has mandated that every school child aged 3 to 18 is federally ordered to be evaluated for mental health issues and to receive enforced treatment. Yes, it's finally here. Welcome to President Bush's New Freedom Initiative and New Freedom Commission on Mental Health. Welcome to Lifelong Profiling and Drug Addictions, New Freedom Style. 52 million students and 6 million adults working in schools, according to this commission, will be tested and should flush out at least 6 million people, or shall we say, new customers, who will be mandated to receive treatment. What treatment does our president's commission have in mind? The newest drugs in the pharmaceutical pipelines, of course. The commission recommends specific medications for specific conditions. Oh, goody. One of the state-of-the-art treatments, and most expensive, is an implanted capsule. Now, bear in mind that this is enforced. An implanted capsule enforced in your child. Yes, that's right, implanted. The capsule delivers medication into a child's body without the child having to swallow a pill or need for parental permission for dispensation. The new Freedom Commission named the Texas Medication Algorithm Project, TMAP, a model treatment plan. Medical algorithms are flowchart-style treatment indicator. If you have a symptom, A symptom, and B symptom, take C medication. TMAP began with the University of Texas, Big Pharma, and the Mental Health Correction System in Texas. The American Psychiatric Association concurs. Now, so it seems that Texas, which is a bastion of mental health, anyone who's been there can tell you that, they seem to have this wonderful, oh, if this is happening, this is happening, that means this, give them these pills. This is quite obviously one of the sickest things I have ever come across on this new show. The fact that people are going to be forcefully medicating children. This, by itself, is enough to make me drag my kids out of school by their hair, man. Like, there's no fucking way you could get me to medicate my kids. They're children. Their body hasn't even stopped developing their hormones and their brains and everything yet. They're not even developed. Why would you begin to augment children who aren't even developed yet? Why don't you just teach them at home? Why don't you make sure they get enough exercise? Why don't you watch their diet? Because you can probably solve a whole shitload of problems if you just watch the diet. But hey, you know, what do I know? I'm just a crazy Canuck out here screaming in a microphone. You know, far be it for me to go against, you know, all these great muckety mucks down there in the state saying that, oh, well, hey, you know, it's probably a good idea if you were to drug your children. Whatever happened to just say no? Where's Nancy Reagan when you need her? That's all I gotta ask. In spin alert. Are you ready for this one here? The internet is bad for your kids. This one was sent in by RipDry. Beijing. Of course, what the fuck's wrong with China? But anyway, the 12 teenagers and young adults, some in ripped jeans and baggy t-shirts, sit in a circle, chewing gum and fidgeting as they shyly introduce themselves. I'm 12 years old, one boy announces with a smile. I love playing computer games. That's it. It's been good to sleep, says another 17-year-old with spiky hair. And that's how he... That's why and how that he's no longer on the computer all day. So he's 17 years old, he's got spiky hair, and he spends all day on the computer. The youths are patients at China's first officially licensed internet clinic for addiction, or pardon me, clinic for internet addiction. A downside of the onside frenzy has accompanied the nation's breathtaking economic boom. So now what they're going to be doing is they're going to be saying stuff like, oh, children should be online. There's an addiction when children are online. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. Shouldn't have your kids online too much. Be a little bit crazy. All the children here have left school because they're playing games or in chat rooms every day, says the clinic's doctor, Dr. Tao Ran. They are suffering from depression, nervousness, fear, and unwillingness to interact with others, panic, and agitation. They also have sleep disorders, the shakes, and numbness in their hands. Well, these guys are all fucked up like a soup sandwich, eh? In China, no less. So out of all of China, in this new wonderful health school you got on the go here, you've got 12 kids. What do you got, like a billion people in China? That's the best you can come up with is 12 kids? Nice try, fuckers. Nice try. This is the same country who claims that, you know, freedom is an obscene term. You know, this is what China does. China is not really, big in my world because of all their massive restrictions on freedoms. They are, in fact, the big brother state. If you think America's going that way, well, let me tell you, China has definitely got us beat to the punch on that one. Now listen to this one. In Pain Field Generator News, Phoenix sent me this. Thank you, babe. A multi-organizational team is adapting for Department of Energy use on a technology that can help keep security adversaries out of Department of Energy sites that contain nuclear assets. Now this is worded a little bit weird. The DOE Office of Security and Safety Performance Assurances is exploring the potential use of a directed energy weapons technology sponsored by the Department of Defense named the Active Denial Technology to help protect DOE nuclear assets. Now, Active Denial Technology, they're talking about setting up Running Man-style fences and embankment, sort of like a broadcast force pain fields, so that if you're walking towards the base or whatever, you hit this wall of microwave radiation that causes pain. The SSA is sponsoring Sandia National Laboratories, a National Nuclear Security Administration's lab, to investigate how the technology can be used on our adversaries. Adversaries, I love that word. By developing a new small-sized active denial system to meet the unique, rapidly evolving security needs of the Department of Energy. To help solve the many technical issues associated with this challenge, Sandia has partnered with Raytheon, an Air Force research laboratory, because both organizations have significant experience with earlier ADS system developments. The ADS systems are a new class of non-lethal weaponry using 95 gigahertz millimeter wave directed energy. This technology is capable of rapidly heating a person's skin to achieve pain threshold that has been demonstrated by the AFRL, human subject testing to be very effective at repelling people without burning their skin or causing other secondary effects. So, isn't that interesting? So someday you'll be moving up to get a photograph of Area 51 and all of a sudden your skin starts burning. Ah! Yes, you've been caught by the new pain fences that are going to be going up. You like that? I think it's just sexy. Now, into more China war news. Now, this was sent to me by BlitzCon. This thing with China is really starting to trip me out. They're going to try to get India and China to go toe-to-toe so that Americans don't have to die in that war, but this is getting a little bit trippy for me. China's communist leaders view the United States as their main enemy and are working in Asia and all around the world to undermine U.S. alliances, said a former Chinese diplomat. Now, this could all be FUD. This could all be just something that America is putting out to try to whip up, anti-Chinese sentiment. Chen Yong-in, Until recently, a senior political officer at the Chinese consulate in Sydney, Australia, said in an interview that China is engaging in large-scale intelligence gathering activities in the United States that, in the past, netted large amounts of confidential U.S. government documents from agents. The United States is considered by the Chinese Communist Party as the largest enemy and major strategic rival. Well, you didn't need a political guy to tell you that. Mr. Chen told the Washington Times in a telephone interview from Australia, where he is hiding after breaking with Beijing in May. Okay, so he actually told the newspaper this. All Chinese government officials are ordered to gather information about the United States, no matter how trivial, he said. The United States occupies a unique place in China's diplomacy, Mr. Chen said. A pro-democracy activist who took part in a 1989 demonstration in Beijing's Tiananmen Square, Mr. Chen, who's 37, spent 10 years as a foreign ministry official. He said he defected and sought political asylum in Australia to highlight the repression of the Chinese people by their government and ruling Communist Party, as well as the repression of dissidents such as democracy activists and the Falun Gong spiritual group. Now, the Falun Gong, or the Falun Gong movement, they're an interesting crew. You know, we got a bunch of those guys here in Vancouver. Apparently, these dudes are into Qigong really heavy, as I understand it. And they were meditating outside the buildings and stuff like that, and they rolled up tanks on these guys meditating, you know, which I thought was a little bit bizarre, but there it is. Most Chinese government activity in the United States involves information gathering carried out by military-related intelligence officers or civilians linked to the Ministry of State Security, Mr. Chen said, which would mean spies. I know that China once got a heavy load of confidential documents from the United States and sent it back to China through the Costco ship. Ah, Mr. Chen said, referring to the state-owned China Ocean Shipping Company. Ah, so we've got they're sending stuff back and forth via the ships, eh? The information was very useful to China's military and related to aircraft technology, he said. The Chinese also send political police abroad to monitor overseas Chinese and others in North America who Beijing considers opponents of the regime, he said. So, they don't send political police abroad. What they do is they send spies abroad to work as enforcers in case anybody happens to step out of line when they're in another country and say things about China that China doesn't like. This is where we are all going, by the way. This is why personal security is of paramount importance and why you should take your own security very, very seriously. Now, in Big Brother Highway News, and this was sent to me by Valerian, and this is sick, twisted, and weird. It is the ultimate backseat driver. Motorists face having their cars fitted with a spy device that stops speeding. Doesn't ask you to stop speeding. No, it tells you you can't speed. The satellite-based system will monitor the speed limit and apply the brakes to cut the accelerator if the driver tries to exceed it. So who's in control of your car? A government-funded trial has concluded that the scheme promotes safer driving. Drivers in London could be among the first to have the speed spy devices fitted. Fuck that. They will be offering a discount on the congestion charge if they use the system. Oh, isn't that nice? If you do this, we won't charge you money. The move follows a six-month trial in Leeds using 20 modified Skoda Fabias, which are found that volunteers drivers paid more attention at, as well as keeping to the speed limit. More than 1,000 lives a year could be saved if the system fitted to all of Britain's cars, says academics at Leeds University, who ran the trial on behalf of the Department for Transportation. It is part of a two-year research project into intelligent speed adaption, which the department is funding at a cost of £2 million. Results of the initial trial will be presented to the ministers this week. A study commissioned by London's transport planners has recommended that motorists who install it should be rewarded with a discount on the congestion charge, which tomorrow raises to £8 a day. That'd be $16 a day congestion charge. The trial of Skodas were fitted with a black box containing a digital map identifying the speed limits of every stretch of the roads in Leeds. A satellite positioning system tracked the car's locations. The device compared the car speed with the local limit displayed on the dashboard and sent a signal to the accelerator or brake pedal if it's too slow or too fast. The system can be overridden to avoid hazard. The trials have been incredibly successful, said Oliver Karsten, project leader and professor of transport safety at Leeds University. The DFT has no plans to make the speed limiters mandatory, but admits that it considered creating a digital map of all Britain's roads would pave the way for a national ISA system. So no, this isn't mandatory yet. It's not mandatory yet, but you can bank that it's going to be. Now, this is very Waterworld to me. I mean, the fact that everybody's burning gas and stuff, and there's less and less freedom allowed to you. Whatever happened to just hopping in a car and tearing off down the highway? What happened to jumping on your bike and tearing out onto the highway? What happened to just going fast with the top down? I guess that's not an option for the people in the UK. I guess, you know, all us white trash folks over here in North America with our Trans Ams and our go-fast muscle cars and all that good stuff, I guess we're all just savage heathens. You know, if there was ever a country, I'll tell you this, you know, there. If I lived in the United States, I can tell you, it'd be a personal call whether or not you'd want to get out of there. But if I lived in England, holy fuck, would I get out of there? Because I'm here to tell you, that country is getting absolutely messed up. The entire UK is getting bonkers. Maybe you guys, everybody in the UK should move to Wales or maybe get up to Ireland or something like that. Apparently, they skipped out on the Industrial Revolution and they're moving into the Technical Revolution. I wonder, have we got any Irish listeners? It'd be nice if we did, you know? That's where my family's all from. It'd be nice to know if I got some people in the homeland who still think that the show is cool. After all, you know, if my country takes a dump, you can goddamn well bet that that's probably the country I'd move to. In InfoWar news from Alien Binary, driven part by fears of terrorism, government secrecy has reached a historic high by several measures, with federal departments classifying documents at the rates of 125 a minute as they create new categories of semi-secrets being vague labels like sensitive security information. This is all methods to keep us from getting access to information. This is the death of the Freedom of Information Act. A record 15.6 million documents were classified last year, nearly double that number in 2001, according to the Federal Information Security Oversight Office. Meanwhile, the declassification process, which made millions of historical documents available annually by the 90s, has slowed to a relative crawl from a high of 204 million pages in 1997 to just 28 million pages last year. The increasing secrecy and its rising cost to taxpayers, estimated by the office at $7.2 billion last year, is drawing protests from a growing array of politicians and activists, including Republican members of Congress, leaders, and independent commissioners that study September 11th's attacks, and even top federal officials who will oversee classification. Now, this whole thing here, I reported on this once before, but I guess they're stepping it up a notch just a little bit. It seems that more and more and more, it's for security purposes. This huge brand of fear that's being fed to America so that everyone will just stay in your homes. Be afraid. If people are afraid, they can be made to do anything. If people are afraid, they can be made to buy. If people are afraid, they can be made to, they can be made to do whatever it is the government wants. They'll be glued to their televisions, petrified with fear, unable to move, watching for terrorists that do not exist. Where the fuck are all these terrorist attacks, huh? Where are all these terrorist attacks? Everybody knows that this added security is ineffective. Everybody knows that the added security does not work. You're talking about tightening up the borders and you have to have the Minutemen go down to the southern line just to keep all the Mexicans from coming across? And you think you've got a secure nation? You've got, you know, Tom Ridge saying that the America's food supply is wide the fuck open and everyone's like, oh no, we're worried about airports. Bullshit, Jack. This is just a number one way to bring about martial law into everybody's lives. And more than that, it's a way to do it so that we'll thank them for it. Oh, thank you for keeping me safe. Thank you. It's so nice for you to take away my rights. Thank you so much. Please take my house and build a marina. Now, No Delete sent me this in. It's called In Snatch Your Brain Back Zombie News, in reference to Johnny Mnemonic. A campaign of hacktivism aimed at improving the quality of local television news has left reporters feeling on-air ambushes from a giant tiger or cheese-flinging martial arts expert. Now, this is obviously that the people who wrote this really were not happy with the fact that their news station got hacked. Shock tactics have been employed by a New York-based group that says it's had enough of TV stations feeding viewers an insipid diet of minor car accidents, petty crime, and house fires, in which nobody gets hurt. Now, you like the spin they're putting on this? In an attempt to get more real news back on the agenda, the Newsbreakers Group has hijacked live reports in several states with an array of characters including Cheese Ninja, an alcoholic religious correspondent called Dizzy Monk, and the Reverend Utah Snakewater, who delivers on-air exorcisms. The activists, a team of technicians, actors, and a former journalist, post footage of their successful busts spliced with their own campaign message on their website, newsbreakers.org. Television news today is a voyeur's fantasy, said Chris Landon, who has set up Newsbreakers while working in a TV newsroom in New York. It has shifted from the role of challenging those in power to exploiting the weak or those involved in personal tragedy. TV defines reality for a lot of people. We just want to startle them enough to disrupt that view of reality. Now, this is brilliant. Absolutely. Go down and check out newsbreakers.org because these guys are fucking heroes. Okay, they're doing exactly the same thing that we are. We are definitely on the same page. I cannot wait until I get something that allows me to channel phone lines along into my computer here so that I can actually phone some of these people and get some of their takes on what's going on in the United States. Maybe we could get some kind of unity going on. Maybe we could actually see if we get all the artists together. Wouldn't that be a good time, eh? But this is exactly the kind of thing I'd like to see more of. Could you imagine any of you watching some bullshit stuff on, you know, watching another episode of Cops, and all of a sudden it's like a Cheese Ninja. Perfect. That's just what I want to see. More of that, please. Now, here's another one sent in by Phoenix, who is a sexy, sexy babe. In Mud Hut religion news. Now, thankfully, all the Mud Hut, you know, dead guy on a stick crew, as opposed to the Holy Rock crew. This is the dead guy on the stick crew. The United Church of Christ's Rule, the United Church of Christ's Rule, the UCCR, the United Church of Christ's rulemaking body. So it'd be the UCC rulemaking body voted overwhelmingly on Monday. So they voted. They vote in the United Christ of Church to approve a resolution that endorses same-sex marriage, making it the largest Christian denomination to do so. Now, let me get through this. The vote is not binding on individual churches, but could cause some churches to leave the fold. Roughly 80% of the members of the church's general synod, whatever the hell that is, voted to approve the resolution. They debated for about an hour before voting. On Sunday, a committee of about 50 United Churches of Christ representatives gave nearly a unanimous approval to the resolution recommending that the General Synod approve it. It was supported by the UCC's president, John H. Thomas. Traditionally strong in New England, the liberal denomination of 1.3 million members has long been supportive of gays and lesbians. The committee also voted against an alternative resolution defining marriage as between one man and one woman. A small group of conservative congregation had proposed that amendment and suggested the approval of gay marriage could lead to the church's collapse. The church was criticized last year for its television advertising campaign featuring a gay couple, among others, being excluded from a church. CBS and NBC rejected the 30-second ads. In the early 1970s, the UCC became the first major Christian body to ordain an openly gay minister. 20 years ago, it declared itself to be open and affirming of gays and lesbians. The same-sex resolution was submitted by the Southern California and Nevada Conference. The resolution specified that bisexual and transgender persons merit the same support and protections as gays and lesbians. The UCC churches are autonomous, meaning the General Synod does not create policy for more than its 5,700 congregations. No hard data exists on how many gays and lesbians are in the UCC. Now, you may think that I think this is a good thing, that the United Church of Christ is getting a clue and they're letting in gays and lesbians. However, I do not believe it is. You say, why is that? Well, it's quite obvious. You see, in the book of Leviticus, just like Ray Phelps says, God hates fags. He does. According to the Bible, gays are to be killed. Okay, it doesn't mince words here. It says, kill the motherfucker is what it says. You know, well, it doesn't actually say kill the motherfucker. They say kill the buddy fucker is what it says. But honestly, you know, I don't think that the Christians should change their views. If they think that gays are evil and gays are bad and they're an abomination to man and God and should be put to death without fail, if that's what they honestly believe, then believe that. Believe that and we'll deal with you accordingly, which means that it's a hate crime. Thanks for coming out and we get to disband your religion. Ta-da! But why would you alter your... This is the word of God, right? On one hand, yeah, you sit there, but if the United tries to church, I mean, they're totally hypocrites. They're complete hypocrites. You can't tell me they're not. It says right there in plain English in the Bible that being gay is a sin. That's what it says. And there'll be all kinds of Christians who'll back me on this one. All right? So what does that mean? I don't think we should change the church. I think we should disband the church. Let's get rid of the mudhut religions, okay? Let's try to get past this whole thing, dead guy on a stick, and he died for your sins, and you better be good, or it's the lake of fire, or any of that fear-mongering bullshit. Let's get past that. Let's get past that. Let's get into a point where we have real faith that exists in day-to-day life. Let's not go, trying to patch up an old religion and try to make it better. Fuck that. Back to the drawing board, man. But I guess, it's going to be hard for everyone to make that kind of a transition. So it is a positive thing, and it does show tolerance for the Christians on the whole. It's hard. It's hard when they realize, and I'm not actually angry with Christians. I love Christians very, very much. Married one. But the thing is that it's hard for them to come to grips with the fact about what's going on with their concept of God. And this is some very deeply rooted shit, so you have to be very, very careful with how you do that. But let's not mince words here. The church and the Bible says, that's what the Bible says, that anybody who commits incest, anybody who talks back to their parents, people who, sleep with people of the same sex, they should be killed. That's what it says. In the Old Testament, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what it says. People say, well, Jesus came and blah, blah, blah. Now you don't need to worry about any of that. Well, that seems pretty open to interpretation to me, but whatever. I just say ditch all the religions and let's start looking at faith and the cosmos and the consciousness and God and whatever he is. He's still going to be there, but he's got nothing to fear from the truth as far as I'm concerned. Now, into core political psycho news. The man was identified as Ted E. Schlesnecki, 64. Vice President of Finance of Operations at the Heritage Foundation, a think tank that promotes conservative policies. He pleaded not guilty this week to a charge of simple assault. What happened was, is down in Washington there, I guess, there was a guy, this Christine Hall, a cyclist, was crossing the street. A guy in a car got mad at her, got out of the car, shoved her off the bike, and starts freaking out at her. Okay? The bicyclist, Christine Hall, 23, said the trouble began around 8:30 a.m. June 14th. She was riding on the sidewalk, about to turn to the 300 block of Massachusetts Avenue, when the car stopped in front of her, blocking her path, she said. She stopped her bike and asked the man to move his silver Acura, she said. But Schlesinski wouldn't move, and the two yelled at each other, she said in an interview yesterday. It was like some kind of road rage nonsense, the chick said. When he got out of the car, I told him, you're crazy, get back in your car. Now, this guy's 64 years old. But Schlesinski came at the 105-pound communications assistant for the Academy for Educational Development and shoved her to the ground while she was still straddling her bicycle. I was pretty scraped up and bruised, Hall said. He just got back in his car and floored it. He took off. So this is the guy who's the head of the think tank for the Heritage Foundation, one of the core political, muckety-mucks, who is just pushing people over and, attacking people in the street. Now, how fucking crazy are you, buddy? There were several bystanders. One helped haul up. Someone took down the license plate number of the car and watched it go just a block past the scene to the foundation's office. Someone else summoned a nearby U.S. Capitol police officer. About 10 minutes later, Schlesinski returned to the scene. After he left the scene of the assault, he returned and tried to apologize. So, sorry I freaked out and attacked you. He said he lost his temper. In his car, he lost his temper. This is a 65-year-old conservative think tank head. This is supposedly one of the guys who are making a policy and shit like this. What a bloodthirsty motherfucker. And then he told the officer that all he did was try to shake the bike. He tried to shake the bike. He said I was the one who fell over. Well, there's witnesses, shit pump. So now this 65-year-old conservative think tank is a liar as well. As a person who likes to assault 23-year-old women who happen to be riding bikes. Jesus! Police arrested Schlesinski after he gave them his side of the story and took him to the Capitol Police headquarters for processing, according to charging papers filed by prosecutors. He was released, then appeared Thursday in D.C. Superior Court. His attorney, Robert Beatoff, declined to comment on the case, and Schlesinski did not return calls to his home or office. Because he's a psycho, quite obviously. I mean, if a guy on a bike pisses you off, you don't jump off. Especially, okay, a 23-year-old, 105-pound woman on a bike. Not anything about women now, okay, but I'm sorry, I weigh 220, all right? So I'm here to tell you, if I'd have been standing there on the street as well as the chick, and the guy got out, any guy got out, walks up to a woman, I don't care who she is, and assaults her, I'm going to beat his fucking head in. I'm sorry. I'm just going to be like, well, he attacked the chick, and I can't just stand here and let this guy attack the chick. My Batman gene gets all out of whack. So, yeah, I fucking smoked him. And then after, you know, you'd be reading news stories how Sean Kennedy, TFM, punched out the head of the Heritage Foundation, which wouldn't you just be getting a screen capture of that one? But Jesus fucking Christ, I guess that shows you the mentality of, you know, people like the Heritage Foundation. They're the guys running the nation, by the way. Doesn't that just make you feel warm and cozy inside? These guys can't even make it to the office without attacking liberals on the fucking street. You people need to step back, man. Like, seriously, man. Time to switch to decaf, all right? Somebody get that guy some kava or something. In concentration camp kill fence news. This is from Melican. You ready for this? That's just what we need in our prisons in the United States is more dead people. Two high-security federal prisons in Central Florida and five others will be getting fences that can kill prisoners who touch them. The $10 million project is intended to allow the prisons to operate with fewer perimeter guards. So we'll fire people and set up lethal measures. Isn't that great? So we lose jobs and we get to kill prisoners. The 12-foot-high stun lethal fences, similar to ones that are already used in some state prisons, can be set to deliver electric shocks to prisoners who touch them once and touch them once, and fatal shocks if they are touched a second time. The Federal Bureau of Prisons expects to award contracts for the fences late in the fall. Bureau spokeswoman Tracy Binsley said, "This new technology will serve as a new security to help us deter potential escapes and allow us to operate more cost-effectively by reducing the guard towers and staffing of some of our guard towers. So we're eliminating jobs for the ability to kill prisoners. Not only that, but let's say I'm a prisoner and I want to off another prisoner. How hard is it going to be to throw that prisoner into the fence twice and then they get killed? Oh, he's trying to escape. Ta-da!" Judy Freiemuth, executive director for the Federal Prisons Policy Project, a nonprofit prison reform advocacy group in Atlanta, predicted that the Bureau of Prisons' hope for savings will never materialize. "How many times have you read of an escape in a federal prison?" "None," said Freiemuth, who said she fears the fences will cause accidental injuries. What they'll cause is assassinations. Stun lethal fences were pioneered in that wonderful bastion of civilization, South Africa. And they're used to protect utility buildings, and other infrastructure. So they've got kill fences around utility buildings in South Africa, said Mike Allen, president of Crowley Company Incorporated. What a great name for a company. In Minneapolis, Crowley is part of a team of companies putting together a bid for the federal prison job. Crowley, eh? Crowley building kill fences to take out prisoners. I wonder why this does not surprise me. Now, in cyberpunk kit news, just to go with the kill fences, I found this one while I was out wandering about one day. A SCAR gun. Check this out. SCAR shooters. U.S. Special Operations Forces this summer will begin testing a new assault rifle, which is expected to be more accurate and less cumbersome than current weapons. Check this out. Known as the Special Operations Combat Assault Rifle, or SCAR, the weapon comes in 5.56mm light and 7.62mm heavy versions that are designated the Mark 16 SCAR L and the Mark 17 SCAR H variants. So far, I'm liking the Mark 17, including standard close quarters combat and sniper. The SCAR L is intended for close quarters combat, while the SCAR H is meant for much longer ranges. The initial production plan also includes a Mark 18 enhanced grade launcher, more variants expected to evolve from the core design. Troops will be able to fire a variety of ammunition from the same rifle, and the entire SCAR family will have interchangeable parts, says Lieutenant Colonel Diak Helig, System Acquisitions Manager of the U.S. Special Operations Command. The manufacturer of the rifle, FN Herstal, is testing different interchangeable barrels, he said in an interview. Commonly, between the parts of the SCAR versions, meant to reduce training, supply, maintenance burdens. Currently, our special operations folks have a golf bag filled with guns, said Paul Evansco, Director of Military of Operations at FN Manufacturing. We've given them a truly modular weapon that eliminates the requirement for all other clubs in the bag. So this is the evolution of the rifle. Although they have that universal infantry weapon and all that stuff they're working on, I think that this one here is the future of where firearms will go. Check that out. And incidentally, Anyone who ever has a chance to determine what they would ever want to get as the one rifle, don't go with a 5.56. For God's sakes, get 7.62. When you shoot at someone, they fall down that way. Now, today's daily hack is some essential media from my brother from another mother, the Hammer Man, over there on the East Coast. Release, it is the release. You want to check this out. This is of Kevin Miller's stunning new documentary, We Become Silent. We Become Silent is the last days of health freedom, a new documentary film produced by international award-winning filmmaker Kevin P. Miller. It was strategically released this week in an attempt to bring public awareness to the Codex Alimentarius Commission. I'm not even sure what that word is, but this is about vitamins and how they're trying to make vitamins illegal. Prior to its meeting in Rome from the 4th to 9th of July, the documentary is set to be viewed by 25 million homes in the U.S. cable TV, and thousands of people from 43 countries have already viewed the documentary over the internet, which there's a link to on my site. The 28-minute documentary has been narrated by an ANH supporter and Oscar and BAFTA winning award-winning actress, Dame Judi Dench, and features interviews with Dr. Robert Verkirk, executive director of ANH, Scott Tipps, legal counsel of the U.S. National Health Federation, John Hamill of the International Advocates for Health Freedom, and Dr. Julian Whitaker of the Whitaker Wellness Institute, and numerous other health freedom advocates. Go there, check this out, arm yourself with information. Make sure you get the knowledge and use it so that you can stay alive. And that's all the information I've got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight in a time of crisis. And those donators for June of 2005 were Forlite, WebLife, Alan, Druid, Y, Simaru, Drake, WebLife, Jesse. I've got WebLife twice here. Why is that? Interesting. Jesse, Robert, Grey Ghost, Art, Michael, End User, Christopher, Noob, Kevin, Joseph, Jesse, Derek, Desert Runner, Eric, Michael, Dennis, C4, Steve, Jesse, Jess, Brandon, Matthew, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Jason, Evan, Matt, Austin, David, Palmer, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Host Mojo, Peter, Charles, Jason, Jonathan, Brandon, Mainframe, Burger, No Fries, In Nominate, Matt, Jennifer, Matthew, Lars, Charles, Eric, Lars and Charles Eric. That's Charles and Lars Eric. You know, it's hard to be me. Dark Nature, Brandon and Michael. New subscribers for this month were Alex, Jerry, Cameron, and Brenley. Thank you so much. Every little bit helps. And if for those of you who would like to help keep this daily broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. Digital Baptisms, Skybatch. Digital Baptisms. Ah, I'm dying. Digital Baptisms today. Sky Blast is now known as Datalanche. It's like avalanche, only of data, so it's like a data avalanche, so Datalanche. I liked it. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Mindless Faith called Momentum. I'm going to leave you now with a track I may make my own personal delusional anthem, sent in by Nalo Surith. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
name is Bob. James Bob.
You always take a shower with a pistol.
I admit it's a little kinky.